Southern Oregon University is regarded as one of the college's most receptive and attentive to the needs of gay and transgender students. SOU has been voted LGBTQ-friendly for several years now. The support includes urging students to step into leadership roles. The Queer Resource Center at SOU will soon offer an all-day leadership workshop called The Audacity, a Queer Leadership Experience. Here to lay out the needs and goals is Thomas Arce, who's the Queer Resource Center Coordinator, QRC, for Queer Resource Center. Thanks for joining us today again, Thomas.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Am I right about the fact that SOU is still considered one of the more favorable places to be an LGBTQIA student?
Yeah. So we are ranked through Campus Pride as a top 25 LGBTQ-friendly campus, and now for 5 years in a row.
5 years in a row. That's an accomplishment. And how long has the Queer Resource Center existed?
So the Queer Resource Center has existed for over nearly 16 years now.
Wow. So definitely one of the first places, I would think, to have established such a thing like that.
Yeah.
What goes on at the Queer Resource Center then? What is your primary mission?
Mm-hmm. So I think of our mission as twofold. We think about the ways in which we support and advocate for our LGBTQ community on campus, but also provide education and awareness to the larger campus community around issues of gender and sexuality.
And has the mission changed at all over the 16 years?
It's still that twofold piece, and thinking about the ways in which we advocate for our students on campus, and then how we can educate our faculty, our staff, and other students about the needs of an LGBTQ community.
And is that second part still the larger task?
It is, yeah. And so there's ongoing workshops and initiatives to spread awareness so that folks understand some of those pieces in working with our queer students.
Has the term queer always been used? Has it always been part of the name?
Yeah. And so queer is something that over time, it's evolved. It's something that started as in some sort of a derogatory term. And so the ways in which that a community has reclaimed that term in terms of empowerment. And so I think it's also a piece of understanding an umbrella term of an LGBT community. And we might see LGBTQ plus and a plus sign denoting that there's many more identities under gender identity and sexuality than the three or four that are kind of in that acronym usually.
So queer does the dual purpose of getting it out of one syllable and also turning what was an epithet into a term to be embraced.
Yeah, and so it's also about like how we use it. So we talk about the queer community in some of that respect, and it's about overarching in that way.
Well, and as we mentioned, it's easier to say than a number of letters. But so LGBTQ is the term you just used, but I've also seen in some of your work LGBTQIA+. So can you explain the I, the A, and the plus?
So the I is denoting intersex. So when we think of biological sex, oftentimes it's just male, female, and understanding that we have intersex individuals. The A is around asexual. So in thinking about sexuality and sexual orientation, it's not just about who you're physically attracted to, but who you have emotional or romantic attraction to. And thinking about asexual, which is like an ace spectrum.
All right. And then the plus is just for
the plus is like to denote many more identities. So thinking of like in this acronym, we don't have pansexual in there. And so like that's to denote that, and it's to denote many more that folks have as their identity.
Is it hard for people in the queer community to keep up sometimes with some of the new terms coming along and identifications that people choose for themselves?
I would say it is. And one of the pieces that I talk about in my education and awareness with folks is not to worry about the terminology, but to worry about the story and the experience that the person is telling you about their gender and or sexuality. And that should matter more, because some folks are also not into these labels or these like identities. Mm-hmm. They're more about, this is my experience and this is how I want to describe it to you by sharing my story with you.
On that basis, then, I mean, if you're offering programs about things like queer leadership, which is what's coming up next weekend on Saturday the 7th at SOU, are you getting people to stick within identity molds or to push the boundaries of those molds? I'm just curious to know how that works.
Yeah. So as it relates to identity, most of it is how students really understand their own identity in regards to like how do they define it. And so in thinking about gender identity, knowing that our society has gendered into like a binary, like it's just man or woman, and this is what a man's supposed to look like or do, and a woman's supposed to look like and do, and that our students are understanding that no, those aren't the molds, and that they can fit other other kind of ways in which they define that, and thinking of, we talk about it beyond a binary, and that's just with gender. And then with sexuality, it's thinking about the many ways they can describe their sexuality. I define it as it's physical, it's emotional, it's romantic, it's all of those pieces, and it's not just one of those pieces. And so it makes it a little complicated, and we think about it from a queered reality, which comes from queer theory, and thinking about how can you be critical about it, or how can you complicate something even more. And so that's queering it in that way.
You can complicate it even more? Deliberately so?
Yes. So thinking about how sexuality then intersects with gender, or even what we haven't talked about, with race, ethnicity, ability status, class status, and how that actually makes someone's sexuality and gender think in different ways as well.
Is the ultimate goal then to get people to think of other people as individuals primarily? Like, I am who I, you know, I'm Jeffrey Bradley, you're Thomas Arcee?
Yeah. So it is to think about us as individuals, but also understand that our identities, and in this respect, gender and sexuality, how that plays a role in me as an individual. Like, I walk throughout society, engage with society. Folks read me as, I mean, not only being a person of color, but they read me in many respects of what my gender is, what my sexuality is, as I share that with people. And so how that start to understand, how people start to understand me through the way I identify.
Thomas Arcee, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the coordinator of the Queer Resource Center at Southern Oregon University. We're moving into a discussion about a program offered next week called The Audacity, a Queer Leadership Experience. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org to send emails. I'm curious about how big a portion of the student body identifies as queer at SOU, and how many people use the services of the QRC?
Yeah, both great questions. And so we do not have a mechanism where folks are able to identify how they identify in terms of like gender and sexuality. So we don't have a number to say that this is what our LGBTQ community.
That was kind of a duck question. I guess you can't indicate this on your registration forms.
And so, but we are moving those ways, and that is a hope, and there are different universities that move in that way of optional that students can identify. But I would say that we have a pretty growing population. There are students that come in on our registration visit days that are like, I chose SOU because of its LGBTQ friendliness. And that's something that as an institution, the resources that we put in to offer support, and knowing that, hey, students are coming to SOU for those reasons, and we offer that support for them.
So when you offer this program on queer leadership, who do you want to come, and what do you want them to learn?
Yeah, so we have around 30 students that have registered for this program, and we were looking for around 25 to 30, kind of a small, intimate cohort,
right,
essentially.
There.
Yeah, and the hope is, in the way that it started, is we called it the audacity, and the audacity meaning kind of like bold or courageous, or they have the audacity to lead in some sort of way. And so that's something that we were hearing when we thought about like queer leaders, of like someone saying, wow, they have the audacity to do something in that way. And so we wanted to use that term in a way of reclaiming and repowering that term of the audacity as a queer leadership experience. And this conversation came up. This is a partnership between Queer Resource Center and our leadership programs on campus. And this came up about how we have leadership programs and we have leadership work on our campus, but how to do it from a framework that's talking about this queer identity, and how our students that identify in any type of diverse gender identity or sexual orientation, the ways that they can see themselves as a leader.
So is there still some reluctance, can we assume, that if you consider yourself queer or in one of the categories that identifies with the Queer Resource Center, that you might be reluctant to put yourself out there as a leader for things on campus?
Yeah, and so there's a sense of thinking about leadership and thinking about the ways in which leadership is defined, of like, what does it mean to be a leader? We think of like all these like portraits of leaders in our community or globally, and thinking about, at the end of the day, what is it about their character? What is it about the ways in which they engage with their community? And so we wanted to do this specifically with a queer community, and thinking about the ways in which they engage with leadership. And one of the pieces that we want to parse out is this idea of, am I a queer leader? Or am I a leader who identifies as queer? And how both of those may sound the same thing, but they can be very different for someone of how they conceptualize themselves.
Which raises the question, I think, for a lot of people, when you get to terms like leadership and, you know, even some basic ideas like character. I mean, the idea is that these should transcend any notion of identity specifically as related to gender or sexuality or anything else, really. So is the trick then to get people? I mean, you're trying to get people to think in those terms that it's transcendent, or to stay within the realm that you understand.
Yeah, I would say it's both of that, and in the sense of understanding that if someone who identifies as queer, that's going to be their reality because they're going to see the world through that queer lens, and thinking about how they want to be a leader in a community setting, that's gonna start being a part of them. And so a portion of our program that day is we are inviting queer leaders from our campus and our community to actually kind of do a meet and greet with the students. And these are folks who are here in the Ashland, the Rogue Valley community, here at the Southern Oregon University campus, that are queer themselves, but also engaging in leadership within their community. And we wanted them to be introduced to these individuals. We have around 9 individuals that we've invited so that they can be introduced of like, what does it mean to be a queer leader? What does it mean to do queer activism or queer work, as we would call it? And this idea of how they can use those as examples with leadership.
But it doesn't have to be just queer activism or queer work. I mean, we're talking anything in society that requires a leader is what you're essentially trying to push people toward, aren't you?
Yes, but I would also argue that queer activism is me as a queer individual, and anything that I do around activism, kind of doing queer activism, if I think about it from that lens. And so that's where we want to like complicate it for them. And that's why it's a day-long piece to kind of talk about and have these conversations.
Thomas Arce, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the coordinator of the Southern Oregon University QRC Queer Resource Center. We're talking about upcoming training for queer leadership. That'll be next Saturday at SOU. And as you heard, the session sounds like it's full already with queer students. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed in the materials for the Audacity, the term authenticity, which I have heard it seems to come and go in discussions of basic human relations. In the context you're providing here, what does it mean?
Yeah, so we're talking about the ways in which students can learn about a definition of leadership, which includes authenticity and personal responsibility. So the idea to be authentic, and this is something we talk about with identities and specifically with our LGBTQ community, is thinking about for them being themselves, their authentic self, meaning they don't have to code switch or change anything in some sort of way in front of one person or another, that they can be their true authentic self. And we think about authentic leadership, that it's the same way, that they can be a leader, they can engage in those leadership kind of ideals from their authentic sense of self.
Even without any overlay of gender issues, identification, sexuality, I mean, it seems like a lot of people in society have a difficulty putting their authentic self forward. Is that fair?
Yes. And I think a lot of that has to do with like how much we as individuals have to figure out, wait, how do I not say something so that it comes across in a certain way? Or like we're always kind of pausing ourselves. But authenticity is thinking about, no, you're yourself at all times. How do you engage with that? And it's an ever-growing process.
Is this an easier time to host something? And first of all, has there been a queer leadership seminar before?
Not around leadership.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this an easier time in history to do it? I mean, because there are some examples this year, a transgender person winning a legislative seat in Virginia, for example, mm-hmm. And other gains that appear to be at a time also when there are, evidences of intolerance in society as well. So I'm just curious to know how this moment in history strikes you as an opportunity for this kind of training.
Yeah, I would say this is very timely in the sense of our students were always doing what I would call activism or community organizing here on our campus, and thinking about that we never had a formalized way of like, here are some ways or some tools to think about the work that you do in that community organizing. And so the idea of leadership and bridging that into this conversation is thinking about how they can be using that not only when they're on our campus, but when they're off of our campus and they've graduated, matriculated, and they're in kind of in our communities in that way. And so, and the other piece is also thinking about the ways in which employers currently like value leadership skills, leadership like ideals, and this idea that we want to make sure that our LGBTQ community and our students, they're learning some of those leadership values and going out into the workplace and doing some of those pieces.
I imagine you've talked to some of the people who are planning on attending next weekend, and I wonder how much you might be hearing stories about, I have held back, I have decided not to go for things that I thought I could do well because of the fact that I thought I'd be identified as queer above all.
Yes, and that has come up. In our online registration, we've had a question of, what are you hoping to gain or get out of this experience? And it's been wonderful to see all of those responses that students are really trying to figure out, not only understanding their identity, their gender or sexual identity, but understanding how that intersects with leadership and maybe them not seeing themselves as a leader because of this marked identity. And so it's really going to be fascinating to work with these students to figure out the ways in which they see themselves and see themselves as a leader, that you don't have to be kind of like doing some sort of like larger activist kind of project to be considered a leader, and that knowing that leadership comes from within in that way.
It's sort of like the queer community embracing the term queer, isn't it? You have to be able to say, hey, look, you know, this is who I am. I can be a leader too.
Yes.
So you mentioned already the nine community leaders coming in to talk about things they've done. I wonder what some of the other components of the training are.
Yeah. So one of the opportunities that we will have is to kind of learn about leadership. And so the leadership programs, one of our assistant directors in student life works specifically with leadership and is able to work with the students around, how do we reflect and define leadership? How do they look at it for a definition for themselves? And so that's going to be a portion of the program. Another portion is thinking about their identity and doing some reflection around their gender identity and sexual orientation. And the idea is to do that with each other. So talking with each other about their experiences of gender and sexuality and how that has inhibited them to be a leader or not inhibited them. And so having some of those candid conversations. And the whole day is very conversational based in that perspective. Then going into this idea of, we have an activity around portraits of leaders and thinking about them kind of metaphorically painting a picture of, like, what does it mean to be a leader, but also who are our queer leaders that we've seen kind of in our communities or kind of in a national scene that are doing this work, and what are the characteristics that we've seen about them? And so it's going to be a lot of conversation, a lot of reflection, and then leading up to that meet and greet with the kind of nine community leaders here. And I'm really excited to see kind of that networking piece, and the folks that we invited, they're excited to engage with the students on these topics.
The training is for LGBTQIA+ students, but they can certainly have allies in the campus community. And I wonder what you would like the people who don't attend to know.
Yeah. And so, and everything is around self-reported basis. Like, we have the sign up, students are able to, they have an option to put, you know, this is what my gender identity is, my sexual orientation. And while, like, we talk about, like, allyship and talk about allies within our community, one of the pieces is thinking about how, as an ally, that if you have a friend, you have someone who identifies as queer, think about the ways in which they're conceptualizing their leadership. What are the ways that, like, as an ally, like, that you're working with that person to figure out how you do the good work that you want to do? And so it's thinking about how you're an accomplice in that work. And oftentimes I think of allyship as an accomplice work. How are you helping with that work and helping with our queer individuals with that work?
Thomas Arce is the coordinator of the Queer Resource Center at Southern Oregon University, the QRC. And we're talking about next weekend's The Audacity, a Queer Leadership Experience. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.